Joining us right now in the studio is Roger Hennigan-Gilson making his weekly appearance. He is the reporter for the Times Union, one of the reporters for the Times Union that covers the Hudson Valley. Several cover the Hudson Valley, but you are seem like the most prominent.
I'm the Columbia Green guy.
So I guess I notice your stories more often because they're right around the corner usually.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it varies, but yeah, there's the Hudson Valley crew and kind of the Central Times Union crew, and I'm in between the two.
And what have you been working on this week?
Well, this week, the two big stories that I was working on was the declaration that all upstate counties, you know, could receive funding after the crop losses last May.
Just the freeze, right?
Freeze,
it was the late freeze.
It was a very late freeze. It happened, it was like May 16th, I believe. You know, the growing season in New York starts May 1st, and that means essentially like there is no possibility of it going below 32. So like 3 weeks after that, it's like very unusual.
And a lot of damage. The grapes are all, not all ruined, but many ruined. The apples,
many,
problems.
Many ruined. Yeah, no, the two most heavily impacted crops were grapes and apples. And, you know, they're also two of the, you know, highest produced and traded produce around here. You know, New York apples, they're delicious. But yeah, the apples and the grapes were heavily damaged. Essentially, to get an emergency declaration from the federal government, you have to prove that 30% of the crop in a particular county is just gone. And, you know, the majority of upstate counties, like, were able to do that. But with the way it's set up, is that any counties adjacent to the counties that had the emergency declaration are also eligible. So it's literally like every county north of the Bronx.
So what does that mean for actual local farmers who had crops damaged in the freeze in May?
Well, it means that they are eligible for these very low interest loans from the federal government through the USDA. You know, they still have to go through an application process. It's just not automatic or anything. And, you know, the loans can pay up to 100% of, like, both or either the, you know, the money amount of, you know, the crops that were damaged or the, you know, costs for producing them in the first place.
So farmers getting a little help, but
it could be
it's a tough summer overall. I would think it was kind of dry early, and then it's been kind of wet lately. I saw a story in the Berkshire paper about how hay farmers are having a hard time with the second mow because it's just so wet.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, it just seems the last, like, 5 years it has either been really, really wet or really, really dry, you know, during the summer. A friend of mine who is a farmer is just, like, you know, he's been rather stressed out the last few growing seasons. You know, he has to irrigate everything when it's too dry, and then it's too wet, and that's an issue also.
So it's just tough being a farmer because you can't totally accurately predict these things. I don't know. I guess the Times Union has a big story today that you didn't do, but someone else did, that says that because of El Nino, it may be a warm, a wet winter.
Yeah, that is a possibility. Honestly, I did not read that story.
Yeah, no,
I
guess
it's a lot of stories. I can't read them.
I just saw it, and it's basically 2015 or so. There was last time there was an El Nino like this, and we had a warm, wet winter, and so they're saying could happen again.
Yeah, El Nino is so odd. It's just like really a change in ocean currents in the Pacific Ocean, but you know, the globe and everything in it is so interconnected that it has effects like across the globe.
Yeah, we're probably only beginning to understand.
Yeah, it's complicated.
What other stories were you working on this week besides the farmers getting a little help?
Well, the Register Star, aka Hudson Valley 360, which includes the Daily Mail, announced in March in their paper that they were being purchased by the Daily Gazette of Schenectady. We also, you know, obtained an internal memo from them that, you know, said essentially the same thing. It was also put out in March. And, you know, there was hopes that it could happen then, but it still has not happened. There's been delay after delay.
And the problem is some weird, something about liens or something, which I don't understand.
Well, you know, we were unable to get the precise reason why it was not going through, but...
Because the Register Star folks didn't talk to you, right?
They did a bit. I mean, they're owned by Johnson Newspaper Corporation, which is way upstate, and they own papers also in northern New York. Both the publisher and the managing editor were on vacation last week, so it was hard to...
It's August, so...
Yeah, it's vacation month. It's vacation month. You know, we emailed them back and forth a bit. There's just been repeated holdups. The Daily Gazette was telling me that, you know, they still would love to make the purchase. They were going forward and hoped it happened soon, but the Register Star kind of had to get their financial ducks in a row first to hand over a clean title to, you know, Hudson Valley 360.
And I guess the idea is that there'd be some synergy there. They could sell some advertising over the whole capital region since the two papers would cover... you know, not Albany particular, but sort of surrounding Albany.
Yeah, kind of a ring around part of Albany. But, yeah, no, the Daily Gazette is, you know, they'll be kind of extending their influence down to the Twin Counties. Daily Gazette said, like, they really hoped for the Daily Mail and the Register Star to actually have more content. The fear is always that, like, you know, there's going to be consolidation and that kind of thing. Part of the additional comment is going to be common pages, like a state section, a national, section that runs in the Daily Gazette and also a couple of their papers. And, you know, if the purchase goes through, Daily Mail and Register Star will have those. But they're also saying that they hope to have additional unique content, too. You know, they might very well hire more reporters instead of firing anyone.
And this isn't the typical... national chains come in and buy local newspapers, and it's often for the real estate. And I don't think the Daily Mail or Register Star owns buildings here, right?
No, they rent.
Yeah, so it's not the same kind of national chain coming in, selling off the parts... to make money situation that we've seen over and over again in other places.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not like a scalping kind of thing. You know, I mean, Daily Gazette isn't like a huge national thing. They just had like a real interest in covering kind of this area. And it's not going to be like, you know, a large newspaper group just like coming in and stripping the paper bare. So, you know, that's a very good thing.
So we don't know what if the sale's going to go through or if it'll be a good thing, but we'll see, right?
We'll see. You know, the Daily Gazette believes that the sale could go through in September, though.
So I guess we'll keep monitoring the situation.
We will monitor it, yes.
And then I guess what could be a little, some people probably think is good news, is there's a new business or a business back?
Yes, Madison Theater, which is just in Greenport. Off Fairview Avenue, they reopened officially last Friday and started showing movies. And there's like improvements now. You know, they have more of an extended menu, and they're developing this app that allows you, like, while you're watching the movie, to be like, "Oh, I want a hot dog," and then a hot dog gets delivered to you right there.
And this is the old Fairpoint 3. What was it called before? It was called the. It was an old three movie theater chain that got bought by the Madison Theater in Albany, right, a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
That's why it is called Madison Theater now? Or is it owned by the same people, or is it different management or something?
There's, like, different management between the Albany one and the Hudson one, but, yeah, it's
and it
the
closed,
same.
Like, during COVID, or was it before?
Really, towards the tail end of it. It was September 2022.
Hmm. And they reopened with the food,
because
they didn't have the food in the old, when it was the Fairport three screens. I mean, right,
such,
but not in the seats the way.
Not
they
in
redid
the seats.
It's more the comfortable draft house kind of style.
No, I mean, it seems like a great concept, because you don't want to miss 5 minutes of the movie, because then you're just all confused and don't get the plot. But and also they've gotten their liquor license. You know, which is like a really arduous process, even for like restaurants and bars. I imagine it was a bit harder with a movie theater, but they're still having they still have to set up the taps and stuff, but they're going to have draft beer and they can deliver that to your seat too.
And there's no other theater I can think of around here that has alcohol.
I mean, it's like a thing, like certain theaters are doing it, but no, none anywhere around here.
Yeah,
so they're
so
first in on that.
If you're if that's what you're saying, then it's open there over on in Greenport.
Yeah. Fairview and, you know, Popeye. They're open every day at 3:00. And also, $1 tickets for seniors on Sunday. That's a steal. And then on Tuesdays, anyone can get cheaper tickets too.
And I think I saw this Sunday is national, some sort of national movie day. A lot of the theaters are doing $4 theaters. I saw a $4 admission, and definitely the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie is doing $4 on Sunday. So
that's an excellent price. I didn't know about that, but yeah, go out to the.
I don't know what if the other movie theaters are doing it, but it's a national thing they're trying to do. But it's been a busy movie summer, I guess.
Yeah, now people are going back to the movies, you know, which is great. You know, people should do things not in their homes. I just saw the Barbie movie last weekend. Like, the hype, you know, is real. It deserves the hype. It's an excellent movie.
I will say the Oppenheimer movie also does deserve the hype, and it was very good.
Yeah, they're like the two big movies at the moment, and they're just polar opposites in every way. It's funny.
On the nail, when I saw Oppenheimer the other night, that were parents dropping their female daughters at Barbie and their male daughters at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
So there's also that we, it's not, the media hasn't caught on to the Barbie Turtles.
I haven't caught on to the Ninja Turtles. They have a movie now?
I think it's second or third one, but yeah.
I remember the original came out when I was a young child, like 30 years ago, and it was amazing. Really good live action. It was just guys, actors in like turtle suits. It totally worked though.
Well, it's you can go have a drink and watch it now, probably.
Yeah. You know, just add to the surreality of the experience by having a giant beer in your hand.
All right, we've been speaking to Roger Hannigan Gilson from the Times Union, who covers Columbia and Greene counties, and is here weekly to update us on what's going on. Thank you for telling us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, talk to you guys next week.